Hello, Gaston County. Welcome back to Gaston's Great, a podcast highlighting some of the great things happening in and around Gaston County, or us talking about leadership, which is what we're going to continue doing today. If you go back to the last couple of episodes, mixed in with some community-focused episodes, we've been talking about the Way of the Shepherd and the leadership principles in that book. And we're going to continue that today with principle number three. So just as a quick review, the first principle from the book was know the condition of your flock. The second principle is know the shape of your flock or your team. Again, we're going to substitute team for most of these concepts, and because, again, it applies more to the working world and so many other things. Now we're going to get to the principle number three, which is help your sheep or your team identify with you. Now, that sounds a little, that was not, for me, wasn't so straightforward when I first read that concept. It took a little bit more study, a little bit more reading to make sure I kind of understood. However, once I kind of read through it made a lot of sense. So we once again have Mark Benton with us here today. And if you haven't, this happens to be your first episode. Mark is one of our leaders here at GSM. He's our operations manager. And I'm just, again, someone that I admire and has a lot of leadership experience both here in the professional world, also with some military background in the Army a few years ago.
Yes, a few years ago. Yeah.
So let's jump right into this concept again. And so how in the world do you help your team identify with you as a leader, identify with the leader that they are once they come onto the team? So part of the leader's job is to get them accustomed or acclimated, maybe is a better word, to the team and to the mission and what they're trying to accomplish. So what comes to mind when you say that, when you hear that?
I think you've got to have set standards. But also I think the main thing for me is it's got to start with the principle number one, right? You've got to principle number one, principle number two, and the whole time I think you're building trust with the guys, right? You've got to let them know that, well, I mean, I said it, you know, a few episodes ago, it's, you know, they don't know they don't care what you know until they know that you care, you know, but you've got to provide that trust to where they know that you're real, you know, you're not just out there. You can't say one thing here and then they watch you do a different thing over there. You know, you've got to be consistent with them. You've got to say, this is who we are here. You know, one of the easy things for me is the way we dress, the way we, our appearance.
Right. That's a good point.
You know, and what I really love is that when we're in the parking lot in the mornings and as we're coming in, when I see other team members looking at them and going, where's your belt? Why do you not have your belt on? I left it. Well, man, you got to have a belt. You know, you got to look a certain way. You got to do this. Oh, this is not how we look. So it's funny how they start identifying themselves as a certain, you know, as a certain thing.
In the book, this chapter, the representation that they specifically used was when Dr. Newman asked Theodore to literally tag one of the sheep that. You go back to listen to the previous episode that he purchased at auction. So he had to tag him literally with his identification tag as one of his sheep, right? And so this is maybe the only chapter that it's a harder connection for me to, you know, because we're not literally tagging people. Right. We're not putting brands on them, so to speak, as you might. But it's a good, I guess it's a good metaphor, I guess, for what we're trying to accomplish. But you said it perfectly. You talked about setting high standards of performance, building trust with the team or the followers, right, by modeling authenticity, integrity, and compassion. You mentioned that they've got to know the mission, right? So you got to relentlessly communicate your values and sense of mission. So those are some great things to start. Another thing that came that I noticed in the book, and I'll get your comments on this one, new team members especially, they're asking two questions. They may not verbalize it, but in their mind, they're asking two questions. Does he or she know what they're doing? And again, we're talking about they're thinking about their leader. And can I trust him or her? Let me repeat that. They're maybe even subconsciously asking two questions. Does he or she know what they're doing? And can I trust him or her, whoever their leader is? So when you hear that, what, just kind of expand on that if you can.
Well, for me, right, it starts at the interview process. I think one of the destructive things that you can do at an interview process is tell them, oh, man, here we do it like this and we do it like that and we're going to be doing this and you're going to do this and we're going to do that. And then they get there and it doesn't line up. You know, all of a sudden they get on and they're like, oh, man, they're excited and they're like, oh, I can't wait to get into this. And then they get there and they go, when does that start?
Yeah.
You know, when you said that this was going to happen and I was, you know, this, and then they get there. So I think, a leader has to be realistic with himself, you know, of how is his team truly functioning? You know, we've been to enough different events and things like that, and you hear some owners talk about, oh, man, my company does this. Sorry. My company does this. My company does that. And then you're like, I visited your company. And then you visit it, and you're like, no.
You ask somebody directly that type of question.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. So I think that's got to be careful. When you set that example, it better meet that because they are looking. You know, when they get their first day, because then you're fracturing the trust. If I'm hiring you and you have three or four job offers, and because of the things that I've told you about how great this organization is and what we're going to accomplish and how we're going to do this and do that, and then you show up because you've told the other two or three or four companies that, you know what, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with them. You know, I like what he said. He says this and that. I'm going to go with him. And then when he gets here, that
doesn't line up.
You've already fractured that trust.
So, yeah, so integrity is kind of, to me, the gateway to this trust. This authenticity is so important. So that second question is they're asking, can I trust him or her? Can I trust my leader? Because I believe without that foundation, gosh, nothing else is going to happen, right?
It's not.
Because, they're long, a couple of comments straight from the books. People long to follow a leader who is a person of integrity, authenticity, and compassion. Great leaders leave their mark by constantly communicating their values and sense of mission. I think that second one there is something that most leaders, including myself, I undervalue how much we have to communicate that, how much we have to remind as a leader, how do you have to remind your team, your organization, your church, the nonprofit that you're on, that you're the chairman of the board. I've been chairman of the boards of three different organizations over the right. years, and I can tell you that I probably did a poor job of reminding reminding that group and board, what are we trying to accomplish every month? Or what are we trying to accomplish for our community? If they don't have that sense of mission, what are they getting up and doing every day? Typically, in a time of war, I would say military was probably pretty straightforward. You're going to go destroy the enemy. I mean, I'm simplifying.
Sure.
In peacetime, I bet it's more difficult.
It is.
Right.
You're trying to find something.
And I've read enough about that to have read that. So, please understand I'm not talking about that from experience. So when the mission is clear, you still have to repeat it and repeat it and just and repeat it. And you have to model it and... If you don't, that foundational trust isn't gonna be there.
Well, what is, I think we've said it before, if they're not listening to you, they're listening to somebody. If you're not speaking as a leader, if you're sitting in your office or if you're, hiding away from your men or whatever that fault is, right? And you're not speaking, well, they're listening to somebody out there.
And that gap, if there's any gap there, it will typically, human nature will fill it with something negative often.
We've seen it, right? How many times have we seen it that, well, what was it? We talked about your truth, right? And if you leave that gap, that's a void, right? And so if you leave a gap there, there's a void. It's a vacuum. Something will fill that vacuum. Yeah. And if you're not filling it with mission, integrity, all the, empathy, all the things that they need, then it's going to get filled with something.
And then the second, second or third or fourth thing we're touching on here is, so communicating that mission, but then specifically, how does the individual, how does each team member fit in to that mission and to what we're trying to accomplish every day? So it can't just, the broad mission and what we're trying to accomplish as a team is obviously super important. But then you might have individual team members who are wondering, okay, what's my worth? What's my job? How do I fit in to this mission that we're trying to accomplish?
Well, yeah. I mean, and if we just take it straight to, you know, our residential service division, right? Well, we talk about productivity. We talk about loyalty club memberships. We talk about reviews, right? Referrals, right? Well, I mean, we have all these different things, and you're right, because I'm not going to say you cannot find that guy, but man, trying to find somebody that can hit all four of those points is, so you've got to have that team member that he might not be the best at talking to people about the benefits of a loyalty club, right? But he may have such a great personality that people love him and give him 5 stars reviews all the time. So as a leader, you've got to recognize that and really appreciate that side of it.
Right.
You know, you can't, as leaders, God, we do it so much, right? We focus on, you know, well, you're not selling loyalty clubs, you know, and he goes, yeah, but I got 4 reviews last week. You know, yeah, but your numbers weren't good. it's just what the mistake that I've made personally, and I've seen other leaders do, and I'm like, man, boost him up about the reviews. You know, talk about the good things that are happening.
If you go back the previous episode about knowing the shape of your team, you know, that's kind of that personality part.
Right.
Because the personality may require that we plug them in a different manner than we plug the other person into the team.
Exactly.
And the leader has got to be able to step away and understand where all that fits together to maximize how they're going to feel every day. I mean, one of the comments that I think Theodore makes in this chapter is, I want my people to have a heart for what they do. I want them to feel excited about coming to work in the morning. To me, that's them feeling like they do fit in. And they fit in, and what they're doing daily is getting the team closer, moving toward their mission.
Yes.
Or another way I like to put it is through some of our F3 leadership studies that I'm involved with is, you know, you're moving toward advantage, which means you're moving toward things getting better and improving.
Absolutely.
And because I think progress is so critical. So how are they fitting in where they're feeling like they're helping the team make progress?
Yep, exactly. Everybody wants to be a part of it. You know, if you're running a good organization, everybody knows a role. They have a role they can fill, and they're excited to fill that role, and they want to be a part of that team. They want to fit in somewhere. So a new person coming in, they're trying to fit in with that group.
Yep.
You know, they're
searching for how they're supposed to fit in.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. And so if you don't have the right personality, which kind of goes back to, you know, chapter two, we were talking about, if your team is that, if they're not willing to let somebody in, man, you've got a problem. You have a problem. And so they should be inviting that person in with a smile and going, okay, working this person. Hey man, this kid is a hot shot. You know, he really is good technically. Okay, good. Let's get him going on it. You know, and then you recognize also, you know, he's a little bit weak talking to customers, but technically this kid's pretty strong. Okay, well then let's talk to him. Let's get him comfortable speaking to customers. And then he finds that place where he just clicks in. So absolutely.
And so many of these principles, you know, they're different principles, but they're so tied together. Because, you know, you look at the summary at the end of the chapter, the very last comment the very last point is, remember that great leadership isn't just professional, it's personal. And, gosh, you know, old school is you got work and business, professional, yeah, and you got personal. Well, you know, what's the comparison I like to make, you know, what from the classic Godfather, right? You know, it's not personal, Sonny. It's business, right? I mean, it's just business. Well, we've learned, or at least I've learned, there's really no such thing. It's all related. It's all personal.
It is.
And I think if we can remember that, this whole you keep your personal life out of work.
Good luck.
That's not the reality of the world that we live in, and the reality of the world that most people live in. So as a leader, you've got to learn how to balance that. So that's kind of what we're talking about, right? So if you're helping your team identify with you, that's the phrase they use, but for me, it's more about identifying with the team, identifying with the mission, identifying themselves so they fit in just day-to-day, the progress and the mission and what we're trying to accomplish.
Well, give you, I think I spoke about it in chapter one and everything about being in the parking lot, being on the dock, you know, but it's really, for me, it's interesting when you see a team member, my field leaders will remember this. I say, hey man, we got a stray. And they'll go, what do you mean? And I'll kind of motion down at the end of the parking lot, and you may have a team member that's sitting in his van. Right. And I say, hey man, we got a stray.
He's not out interacting and
yeah. And you'll have the group, right? 20 something guys all, you know, clowning around, cutting up, picking on each other a little bit. And then I'll look around and I'm looking for that one, you know, and I'll go, hey man, we got a stray. And it's always one of my field leaders or myself will kind of walk back down there to, you know, hey man, are you okay? What's going on? In a one-on-one, you know, hey man, what's going on? Why ain't you with the group? And it's always, for me, the younger or the new people, they don't know where they fit in. So
yeah.
You've got this tight group of 20 guys, right? And they're all doing this thing. And you got this guy that's 10 foot away, or he's sitting back up away from everybody else, just kind of watching it. And you got to go get that
person.
As
a leader in a team, it's also easy, in my experience, if you've been a member of a team for a long period of time, it's easy to forget what it was like.
Oh, yeah.
When you first got involved with that group, team, organization, or whatever, it's easy to forget that, how uncomfortable it was, or how you forget what it was like trying to fit in, right?
With that team. Yeah. Yeah. It is hard. I mean, you know, and again, 21 years here, but I felt it. I'm not going to lie. I felt it when I took over the operations side and I had to go on the dock where Owen had shown
a little out of your comfort level.
Oh man, I was way out.
What you were used to.
I mean, how do you so I've got to start over. You know, I've got to look at these guys. They don't know me. They don't trust me. I mean, they know me. They know my name.
Sure.
But they don't know if they can trust me yet. They don't know if I know what I'm talking about yet. Why is he over here? You know, they're asking each other those questions, of course, behind. And then Owen and Sean, I'm trying to, you know, I've had a relationship with Owen and Sean for over 20 years, but still, I'm in their house now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're subconsciously asking those two questions.
Yeah.
Do you know what he's doing, and can I trust him?
Yes. And so they're asking the same thing. So, yeah, I felt that when I first took it over. And you know, it's actually, for me, it was kind of motivating, you know, because I like to gain that trust.
Absolutely. So, okay, let's land the plane on this one. But, again, I'm going to finish with another quote. And somebody who I like, she's got several books. I would recommend looking her up online and following her, Brené Brown.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, integrity is choosing courage over comfort, choosing what is right over what is fun, fast, or easy, and choosing to practice our values rather than simply professing them. So for me, that's about turning integrity into action. And again, we're talking about building trust with teams. It's got to start, in my opinion, with integrity. And that's got to be first. And otherwise, you can't build the trust that's required for a team to develop and a team to getting all the team members moving toward that advantage for them, both personally and for the team. So, Mark, any final words on that from Brené Brown or any topic here on help your team identify with you or in the mission?
No, just you reminded me about her. I think the last time I read something with hers was a couple of years ago, and it was so impactful, and I thought, you know what, I need to go back. When you just read that quote, I thought, you know, I need to go back and reread some of her stuff.
Yeah, she's got some really
deep,
good,
deep
some,
stuff.
Some man. Good stuff. Somebody I would recommend looking into. So that is principle number three, help your team identify with you in the mission as you as the leader in the mission as what the team is trying to accomplish. So, and we will continue these discussions on and hit on principle four on our next episode. So, again, as we remind everyone each week on these episodes of Gaston's Grade, we appreciate all of our listeners taking the time to listen to today's episode. Please continue to spread the word if you can about the podcast. You can email us at podcast@gastonsgreat.com. You can subscribe to the podcast at our website, which is gastonsgreat.com, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Give us a, again, please follow us on our social media platforms as well. Naomi's always put some good content out on our social media platforms. And give us a good 5-star rating. That does help us get noticed, and so more people can hear about us. Again, thanks again to Mark for being our guest today. Gaston's Great is produced and brought to you by Naomi Hunt and Amy Anderson from GSM Services. I'm your host, Stephen Long. Thanks again for hanging out with us, and please keep coming back to hear more reasons why Gaston's Great.